Hello and welcome to another episode of Tales from the Doghouse Separation Anxiety Explained. In fact, it is our very last episode for the year, so we are going to have some fun, but first let me introduce myself. I am Ness Jones. I am with Separation Anxiety in Dogs Australia, and I am, oh, hang on, that's not right. I am Ness Jones. Shush up. I am Ness Jones. I am from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded, and I am in Australia. And with me today is...
I am Stacey Bell with Focused Fun in the US, and also there's...
me! Hello, this is Sarah McLaren from the UK, from Separation Anxiety Solutions. So today's podcast, it's very close to Christmas and it is our final one of the year. So today we're going to cover some wonderful, interesting topics such as some, you know, things to help you over the Christmas period and a little chat about some of our favourite podcasts and some of the funny things that have happened to us over the year. And we're also going to talk about the fact that we three, are all separation anxiety pro behaviour consultants. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean to you, dear listener?
Woo-hoo! And what were we before? We were just trainers, or not just trainers, but we were separation anxiety trainers before, and now we're next level.
Next level. So we're now classed as certified separation anxiety pro behaviour consultants. So what that means is that basically we've had more continuing education. It means that we've mentored other students within separation anxiety. We've had a minimum number of cases. We've had a minimum caseload. We've had to have done at least 100 hours of working with clients. And we had to put in case studies in order to pass the certification. We've also had to work with other specialists and other trainers, which means we can work with vets, we can work with other trainers that you might be working with who are maybe doing some other types of remedial work. And we've also covered the different types of separation anxiety. So it means that we've all worked with those different types, such as hyperattachment or multi-dog households or elderly dogs, young dogs, the whole gamut that's out there across separation anxiety, of which there are many. So you should be pleased to know now that you are safe in the hands of myself or the lovely Stacey or the wonderful Ness. So there you go. Woo! So yeah. I think, should we all sing a Christmas song then now?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
No?
Yeah. I'm an excellent singer. It's one of the things that I'm known for. JK. So always off key.
You start, Sarah, we'll join in.
I'll be all right, but I don't know any words to any, so I can almost hum a tune. So do jingle bells, jingle bells.
Jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun is to ride on one horse open sleigh. Woo! All right, then.
There we go.
So,
it's a wrap.
That's a wrap, right. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next year. No. In all seriousness, Christmas is coming, and it's coming pretty quick. And we get lots of questions around separation anxiety and around the Christmas holidays and whether to train, whether to not train, and all the other things around there. So, guys, what's your top tips for folks over Christmas?
I would like to say, you know, it's a really, really busy time of year. You've probably got friends and family coming around, or you're going around to their place. Maybe if you're struggling with separation anxiety, it might be a good time to have a break. Mm-hmm. Have a little holiday for yourself and your dog, and have a few days off and just don't think about it and just have a little bit of a break. If you're training, if you're going through that process, then yeah, it might be a good time to just say, hey, I need some time out. My dog probably needs some time out and have a little break.
Mm.
If you want to. But if this is the time that you've set aside to train, then carry you on.
It's difficult, wouldn't it? Because it's that time of year when for separation anxiety behaviour consultant, we get more clients in January, mm-hmm, after the Christmas break than we do in, say, November before Christmas.
Yes.
Because it's that there's also the opposite of not training, which is we don't train at all over the 2 weeks, over Christmas, or 3 weeks, when you, however much time you get off, depending on where you live and COVID depending these days. So it could be that you're at home with your dog all of a sudden for 2 weeks, you don't do any training at all, after which time they have lost some of their separation anxiety alone muscle, so to speak.
Mm.
So although you do want to take that break, you also need to keep your hand in a little bit. That's very, very difficult, particularly if you go away. I always find that if you go somewhere different for Christmas, if you go to stay with family or friends, then that's really, really difficult to do.
Right. Yeah. Well, and even if you're staying at home and people are coming to visit you, that change in routine can really throw a dog, right? And so I do think it's a balancing act of keeping your hand in the training, but also, you know, realizing that things are busy. And for some people, for a lot of people, the holidays are a joyful, exciting time of year, but for some people, it's overwhelming. And for others, they might be experiencing anxiety and depression. And so, like, you know, when you're looking at all the different reactions and the general busyness and change in routine that, you know, kind of surrounds the holidays, then it might not be great for your dog to train at the level you were before, right? So I think for me, I would be looking at my how my dog was coping with all of these changes. And if it looked like my dog was having trouble settling, then I would either, depending on the level of difficulty that they were having, either take a little bit of time, let them adjust, and then start training with some easy wins. Or if they're just, like, you know, maybe not as solid as they ordinarily are, just go with some easy wins. So if they're on 15 minutes, you might do some 5 minute exercises just to keep that muscle going, make it easier for the dog since the situation's harder, but definitely going at your dog's pace and being, like, just super flexible.
I think it must be really hard if you've got a house full of people as well, because, you know, you've either got to say, everybody get out, I've got to train my dog, or, you know, if everybody's going out somewhere to see somebody and you're like, oh, I can't come because I've got to train my dog, you know, then you end up with, like, you know, maybe fractures there in your relationships with them. Hopefully not, but
and that's where some really short exercises can come in, like, you know, you guys go out in the car and wait for me and I'll just do, like, a quick absence,
you know, more desensitization,
exactly,
if it has to be that.
Even for dogs who are hyper attached, sometimes you leaving them alone with the rest of the family members is still, you know, something that you have to work on. So that would be an okay time to work on those things.
Yeah, if anything, for the hyper attached kids, it's probably not a bad time of year at all, because they've got lots of people to sit with. Not that it often makes that much difference, but and it also means that while you've got family members there, if you're really lucky, you can spend some time with your hyper-attached dog, sharing the love a little bit and getting them maybe used to other members of the family that they've not spent that much time with. So for that side.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me over the holidays, my top tips would be flexible, kind of redefine your goals, right? So instead of, I mean, it's hard not to think of your major goal as being building duration, but for the holidays or like when you go on vacation or when things are busy during those types of times, I would just think about maintaining the training progress you have the best you can, you know, maybe doing things like sharing the love, building consistency, stuff like that, and not focusing so much on the duration itself.
I just think, like, it's the end of the year. You've probably been working hard on this all year. Just totally get the whole keep the muscle memory going, if you like. But I also think it can be a very stressful time of year, and yeah. sometimes you just got to be kind to yourself and say, I really need to take this time off. And
for sure.
When you get back into it, when you can, then you just start a bit smaller than where you were. Like, you wouldn't go mm-hmm. back to your half hour or whatever it is. Yeah. Just start yeah. below that. No. Make sure you set it up for success. Make sure the dog is, you know, going to succeed no matter what. So whatever time that looks like, and then just start building up. And it will go quicker too, because obviously you've done it before, so you can go up quicker and yeah. jump your amounts. You don't yeah. have to take it as slow the first time.
And for many dogs, 1 week off, you're not going to lose much, right? Like, you're exactly what you're saying, Ness, like, go back a little bit, you know, to make sure you're solid and you'll move forward quickly. But I think what I would worry about more is like taking 3 weeks off or taking, you know, taking a bigger chunk. Then I think you're yeah. at risk for losing more of your training if you don't do anything. But, you know, if you're on holiday somewhere and you're not at home, then it's hard to do the training there because yeah. of.
Well, dogs yeah, don't yeah. generalize well, do they? So right. what they yeah. know at your house doesn't mean they're going to know that at the holiday mm-hmm. home or wherever you're staying. So then you've got to say, mm-hmm. is it worth training there or not?
Right, right.
And I think, yeah. I think as long as
there for a short time.
As long as you're aware of what can happen either way, then, you know, the idea is certainly for us as trainers working with people is to try and help our owners make the best decision at the time for them, and to make mm-hmm. sure that they don't lose too much if they're really worried about that, because obviously for some people they do worry that, you know, they're going to lose everything over a 2 week period. Because I think here, I don't know how the holidays work where you are, but I know here there's going to be an awful lot of people this year who are off work for at least 2 weeks, if not a little bit over. And I know, you know, that would have a bigger impact than a week, like Stacey said, but also, like you said, Ness, people need the time. You do need to give yourself that time and give yourself a break. And it's not just about the people coming around. You know, the whole thing about Christmas for a dog can be quite stressful. You know, the mm-hmm. the appearance of a sparkly, smelly thing in the corner that they want to pee on, that they keep getting told off for, can be quite difficult. You know, all of a sudden there's the smell of turkey all over the house, or goose or beef, or, and then, you know, their owners suddenly give them this wonderfully massive Christmas dinner that then gives them a tummy ache that they have to clean up for the next 3 weeks in the yard. So there's all these other things that kind of add into that stress.
Funny story about our Christmas tree. We unpacked the Christmas tree box the other day, and because we've just moved, so in the old house we hadn't put it up for a few years, I said to my husband, I said, we are putting it up this year. I don't care, new house, want to get it up. And I unpacked, and I was unpacking the Christmas decorations, and there was some newspaper in there, and he said, just have a look and see what year is on that newspaper, because that was the last time we had it out. It was January 2015, so basically the last time we saw that Christmas tree was Christmas 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my word.
So it's kind of nice.
That is a while.
Yeah.
Yay. what do the dogs think to it?
They've been really good, actually. They're not doing, no one's peed on it. No one's stolen balls off it. So yeah.
Yay. Yeah, I think it's there was a program on the other morning that I saw on television, and they were like, you know, showing you all the different fake trees that you can get, and there was one in particular that was half a tree, so it was basically a stick with the tree on top, and they were like, you know, this will be good for cats, and I thought I'm pretty sure any good cat would still climb up the pole.
Yeah
on the top, you know, any cat worth its salt would be straight up that, but yeah.
that's the reason we stopped putting it out, because unfortunately they've died now, old age, but we had two cats, and in the middle of the night you'd hear this timber floors, boing, 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 and all the baubles would be off on the floor in the morning. So I was like, oh, are we ever going to get any sleep? So I was like, let's just not bother putting it
out. That's funny.
The joys of the kitty cat. So, yeah, so all this stuff kind of adds to the stress of the entire situation, doesn't it? So the other thing for owners is to make sure that if they do decide to train, that you pick your times really, really carefully. make sure that you do all those things that you can to put everything in your dog's corner, to make sure that they've been out, to make sure that, you know, that they're not hungry, that they're not sniffing out chocolates under the Christmas tree, that they're not, you know, stressed by Auntie Ethel and a handbag full of lavender, you know, whatever it is, they're the things that we need to make sure that they don't have a negative effect on the training.
Well, and I think you make a really good point there, Sarah, because, you know, around the holidays, our schedules are different and we are busier. And so we might not have time to provide as much enrichment for our dogs as we usually do, or take them on the walks we usually do, or provide the exercise we usually do. So for some dogs, that can really impact how well they can cope with being home alone. For some dogs, it's not as big of a difference. But for the dogs that does make a huge difference on, you know, just redouble your efforts and just make sure that you make that a priority, as because it is such a big need for your dog.
Yeah. And when you do start training, if it looks like there's any anxiety, any issue at all, just stop. Stop.
Don't push it.
Either try again hours later or the next day. But yeah, don't push it. Don't be that worried about it, that you know you're going to push it into an exercise that's just going to go horribly wrong. Just stop and go and have your sherry or a snowball. What's the Christmas drink over there in Australia?
Do you guys have eggnog?
I mean, who drinks eggnog, seriously?
Well, I don't, but we do have it.
I
don't know. I mean, because it's hot over here. So, I mean, mulled wine isn't like, you know, it's something you really enjoy when it's really hot. So,
I mean,
for me, it's cold beer, and, you know, or champagne or a glass of Chardonnay or something like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But it's really hard to keep your drinks cool over here. So I do not like warm drinks, like whether it's wine or champagne or beer. So, you know, I have to keep the bottle in the freezer just to keep it, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's well, not all the time, obviously, but, you know, put it in there just to cool it right down. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was in England, I reckon I'd be drinking mulled wine.
Yes. Hot cider.
not a fan, Sarah.
No. I think cold wine smells bad enough to me, but when it's warm, my word.
Yeah, no. I'm not a big wine fan.
No. I could do the mulled cider. I've done that. That's quite nice, but not wine.
Yeah. Mm. Like, or hot chocolate with a little Bailey's Irish cream in it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And what about pudding? Nice. So, I mean, it's kind of almost too hot to have Christmas put over here too. So you might have like trifle or something like that instead, a cold dessert.
Mm. Yeah, I can't imagine having a Christmas pudding and custard in the middle of August over. That would be like, what?
It's interesting, true. Like how many of the traditions like center around, like in my head, around it being cold outside, and then like for you, Ness, it's like totally flipped.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's more like instead of like turkeys, you might have like ham and prawns or something like that. Sarah, I mean, Stacey, your face then.
I'm a vegetarian, so all of that sounds gross to me. So
I used to be, and I got nagged and nagged and nagged and nagged. So,
just thinking one more thing before we move on to some of the fun stuff that's happened this year about the holidays that can make it really tricky as far as having a separation anxiety dog goes, is finding coverage. So if you are going to family or friends and you can't bring your dog with you, sometimes it can be really hard to find coverage. Somebody who, you know, doesn't have plans that's willing to stay with your dog.
The big thing
there is planning ahead. Like, you know, especially if you have a dog that is fearful of strangers, like, you know, making sure that they get exposure to whoever is sitting them well before the day that you'll be leaving your dog with them is super important. But putting feelers out, because there's, you know, sometimes there's there might be college students home or university students who would love to get away from their family for a couple of hours and hang out with your dog. Like, you know, you just don't know. So just, you know, don't assume that you won't be able to find anyone just because it's going to be a more difficult time. There's usually someone around that has a different situation than you do that can watch your dog for you.
I have a client who's going back to England for 2 weeks, and she's got a lady coming to pet sit for her. And we've talked about, you know, is she going to leave the dog while we're going through the training? The Snoopy, he's on about 2 minutes 30-ish, something like that. So we're fairly new into the training program. And but we're inviting her to our next Zoom session before my client leaves. Very nice. So I'm going to talk her through the program. I'm going to show her the graph that Snoopy's on. Shout out to Snoopy. And so that she fully understands why we're doing it, what we're doing, where the progress, you know, the progress we've seen, et cetera, et cetera. So that
hopefully. Well, yeah, and the risk of the dog having an over threshold experience. If she leaves the dog, then all of that hard work, you know, is not necessarily for nothing, but chances are you're going to have to go back and rebuild.
So I said to the client, I said, you know, I think it would be really valuable if she joined us for the last session, just so we're all on the same page.
That was a really solid idea, Ness.
Fabulous.
Probably because you thought of it.
What's that?
Yeah, I said probably because you're a behavior consultant. You thought
that must be one.
I've just got one other thing before we go on to anything else, is about the another side of the Christmas break and the holidays, etc., is vets and medication. So if your dog is on medication and if they do need medication for the separation anxiety, make sure that you've got enough to cover you over the Christmas period, and certainly make sure you've got enough to cover you if you go away, because I myself once had to come home from holiday early because I didn't take enough medication with me, and I think my husband's still not forgiving me for that one. So make sure that you've got enough medication to cover you over the holiday, and always make sure that you've got a telephone number for your vet or whatever it is, that whoever it is that covers over the Christmas period, because there's nothing worse, and you can guarantee if your dog's ever going to get anything, it's so always going to be on a bank holiday, because they just know, don't they? They've got that little timer that says, right, bank holiday. It's going to cost mom twice as much.
Yeah.
I'll keel over now.
The other thing, just speaking of vets, is that if your dog is the type of dog who is also anxious in new situations, or generally anxious, or you think that something that's happening over the holidays will be anxious, talk to your vet about a situational medication to use either in conjunction with the daily medication that they're on, or if they're not on any medications, and test that out before you need it to make sure that it's a good fit, because, you know, not every medication is the right fit for every dog, that there's a lot of variance there. So testing that out before you need it is super, super important.
And when you do test it out, make sure you're there. Don't test it out.
Oh, gosh, yes.
In case there's something, in case there's a reaction, Whenever you're giving any kind of med for the first time, make sure you are there. Don't walk out the door. So, ladies, I think maybe we should talk about our highlights for the year, maybe our programs or funny moments. What do you guys reckon?
Well, I had some. I wrote a little list of things that I thought were funny in the podcast, and some of my favorite podcasts.
Oh,
if you'd
go, Sarah. All right.
Well, funnily enough, it's amazing how many of them seem to center around Ness.
really, is she our funniest one? We should have our listeners vote on who's the funniest of the
three of us. Well, some of the everlasting moments from the podcast that I don't think I'll ever forget are bin chickens.
Yeah,
that was one of my favourite things, was the bin chicken, because that was a whole new concept to me and to you as well, I believe, Stacey, the bin chicken. Of course,
hang on, should we just
Leia.
Explain for the...
Oh, bin chicken. Yes, of course. You tell people who bin chicken. Who?
A bin chicken is a native ibis to Australia. It's a bird.
Ibis.
But they do like our rubbish bins, so we call them bin chickens.
It's such a lovely turn of phrase. There was the Princess Leia moment.
Oh, Stacey, that was gold.
With the lovely Stacey in her headphones, who then looked very much like Princess Leia. The other one was Stacey's elephant.
Oh yeah, oh. Stacey, I think you should now.
We haven't heard that for such a long time.
We haven't made animal noises in a while. No. But I feel like I can do this. I haven't. Rowan's a little scared of the elephant, but I feel like he can work through it. Okay.
I think talking about Stacey, that the episode where she kept talking about
vaginas.
Yeah, there she goes again.
Now, that's on my list.
I mean,
just for the members of the audience. Yeah, members of the audience who are like, what? We were talking about stress, and we were talking the reason that the word vagina came up was because we were talking about dogs giving birth and vaginally, at which point so that's why. And yeah. Now Stacey's falling apart. So there we go. So yeah, we're not just randomly throwing out words. And we do like to be scientifically correct, do we not, girlies?
Yes.
Well, actually, I do want to mention too, while we're there, Stacey likes to make up words.
I do.
Yeah, what's that one that we always make say? Now, I can't.
Misconception.
Misconception
in one. Misconception.
Yeah. So you're pretty good at that, Stacey, I must say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not forgetting my discombobulated last week.
Yes, that was good. And nice. Stacey's inability, or probably all our inabilities, to say scientists' names.
It's so hard. I think
we're good at that.
Et al. Is a favourite, though.
Et al. Yeah. That's my favourite scientist.
What about you guys? Were there any other particular favourite moments you can remember?
In terms of episodes, I really like the one with Bertie Oshidi. That was the clinical psychologist, and she works with dogs and dog owners as well.
Yeah.
And just I got some good feedback on that episode. It was really well listened to. And I think people really enjoyed that, just because it was so, you know, helping owners understand how having a dog with separation anxiety impacts on them. I think that was quite a valuable episode in particular.
Yeah, we've had some good guests on, haven't we? I mean, I did have a little list. So we had Birdie Oshidi, who was, like you said, the psychologist, and we had Marsha Penner, who was the what was she, Stacey?
Behavioral neurobiologist.
That's the one. Yeah, she was so interesting about memories and how they
formed.
I really
enjoyed her.
Yeah.
The lovely Lisa Spector with the music.
Yeah.
That was really interesting as well. And Hannah Capon, all about canine arthritis management. And of course, last week, Jane Sigsworth, which Ness took a lovely photograph where we look like we're singing a love song to each other.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
That's such a good picture. Yeah. And of course, our wonderful clients who have been on, that we've done the case studies with as well. I mean, without them, things would have been very different. And it's so lovely to listen to the different ones and how some people have, you know, just sailed through it. So, Stacey, your guys, Sam and Mia, was it?
Yes. Mia and Sam with Miss Nona.
Mm-hmm. Miss Nona, that's it. Yeah, I mean, she was so lovely to hear about. And yours, Ness, I can't remember the name.
We had Sunny, that didn't come on the program, but we did the case study talking about Sunny.
That was it.
Sunny was one of my, has been one of my favorite clients in terms of watching him and his antics and the things that he would get up to, the mischief he would get up to, like sticking his nose in her coffee cup on the table, or he'd wander around the kitchen and you could see him eyeing stuff off, looking for mischief. And there was one time he stole her slipper and she was on the outside of the door, obviously watching him, and she had to cut the session short so he didn't chew her her slipper up to shreds. But I think one of the heartwarming moments for me with that dog was that when she sent me an email out of the blue after we'd finished the program saying that she went to the zoo and she'd just gone for 5.5 hours. And
wow. You know,
how ecstatic she is and all that sort of stuff. Talking about another client, obviously when I work with my clients, and I know you guys are the same, we set daily training programs and then they send us the notes of the program of the training and video link. But you know, I always encourage them to tell me about the dog's day when they send that through. So you know, how much exercise enrichment did it have? Did it go to doggy daycare? You know, what did its day look like? So this is one of my favorites comments that I got back and notes. It says, we got up about 8:30 this morning, which is later than usual, went to the park and he did a huge poo, and we came home and I made him a boiled egg, a favorite treat. But I think the ones that I love reading the most are things like when you get comments like, the dog was looking very bored and uninterested in what I'm doing. Yay.
Yeah.
Because you know you're doing your job then.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. When the comment on to say he looks really confused.
Really confused?
Yes, when the dog looked really confused when they're doing dog desensitization and they're wandering backwards and forwards and the dog's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Or there, I'm sick of your, put your word in there. Starts with S.
And, you know, and rhymes with it.
Yeah.
A couple other case studies to call out are just Catherine and Kane, which were Sarah's clients, and then Olivia and Spud, which were on more recently. And then how many episodes are we on now, Ness? I think we forgot to celebrate our 50th episode, didn't we?
Yeah. So this season is this will be our 47th episode this year. Mm-hmm. We started it at the end of last year, and I think we did five. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think five is right. Woo!
That's pretty cool.
Woo!
Yeah.
And we've had, according to the stats on the
Anchor
podcast, we've had over 7,000 plays now.
Wow.
Lovely.
Go us.
Sarah, actually you may be looking just at Spotify. We may have had more than that through other listening apps like Apple and Google and Stitcher and etc.
I think the biggest app that we go out on is Apple. Apple's massive.
Yeah, I was surprised about that. Yeah. I guess.
Oh, we're fine.
I don't know. I guess I listen to all my most of my podcasts on Spotify, and I just hear a lot of people listening on Spotify. So I just thought there would be more.
I'm an Apple lady. I listen on Apple for mine.
And we've got some lovely the other stats that tell us where people are and we're listening.
Yeah.
So we've got Aruba. Aruba. Who's listening to us in Aruba? Whoever you are, hello.
Please give us a 5-star review, little Aruba listener.
Yeah, send us a picture of Aruba, Panama, the Bahamas, Bermuda, Philippines, Iceland. Who's in Iceland? Hong Kong, South Africa, Mexico, Italy, Bulgaria. It's fabulous. We're all over the place. Taiwan and Singapore, Puerto Rico. We have a photograph from there. That'd be nice. Guam, Nicaragua. Oh, I love
Nicaragua.
Maybe we should go to we can do a grand podcast tour one year and go around to all these places.
Except I don't really like traveling that much, but otherwise that would be, I think it would be fun with you guys. I think I could do it.
New Zealand. So you'll be all right there, Ness. If that, that wasn't, it's not a member of your family, is it?
Very funny. No, I don't know. No.
So yeah, so you were speaking about dogs stealing slippers. I was just thinking I had one of those that went, looked like he was gonna go and sniff the door, stood around there for a minute, then disappeared down the side of the door. And then 2 seconds later came out with a nice fluffy slipper, then disappeared again, and then came out with another one. And bless her, his owner still stayed out while he had the slippers, while he carried them around. And she didn't rush back in. She just left him with the slippers. She was like, yeah, I don't mind, as long as he's all right.
Yeah.
Rowan's a big fan of gathering items, whether they're shoes or some of my dirty laundry, to snuggle while I'm gone.
Nice.
I mean, he doesn't tear them apart. He just gets them and snuggles with them. So.
I had a teddy, the client was, and he used to hang out in the hallway, and then eventually he was that relaxed. He was like, oh, I'm going to go in my mum's bedroom while she's gone. And so we moved the camera in there because we couldn't see what was going on. Turns out he was in her washing basket playing with all her washing.
Yeah, well, that's fun. She could put like some kibble in there for enrichment.
Yeah. Yeah, until you accidentally put it in the washing machine and it just comes out as very big, clean kibble.
Not that I've ever done that, of course,
which is why, of course, I would have no idea that it comes out as very large, clean kibble. So we've had one of the dogs licking the laptop, but I think you've had something similar as well, haven't you, Ness? Yeah.
I've had one where I've been doing the assessment and the dog is the laptop's being put on the floor to get the best visual of the dog, and it's literally looked at me and is pawing at the screen at me. Yeah, which is the only dog that's kind of noticed me or seen me in all this time. So it's interesting.
You know what? I really find it so endearing when the dogs like look straight into the camera.
Yeah.
During the session, it's like, I just want to, I always say I'm going to do it, but then I never actually remember to do it when I'm watching a video that has that in it. But I want to take like screenshots of all of those and like have like a collection of all of them so I can look back and feel warm fuzzies.
That would be so cute. I had one in particular that was another teddy, and he used to have a big fluffy football. So he'd kind of pick it up and play with it sometimes. And then every now and then he'd get on the sofa and look directly at the camera with this massive fluffy football in his face.
Aww.
And he was just, you could just see these big chocolate button brown eyes peering over this massive football. And he was so cute.
That is cute.
He really was adorable to watch. I had the one with the dog standing on the kitchen table. You'll remember that one, Stacey, I sent you the video.
Yes.
Yeah. We both stood watching him because he just got on the kitchen table and just stood there for the entire duration. And I was like, huh? So I sent the video to Stacey and said, am I missing something? And she went, no. That was nice. And my favourite one, the 6 minutes of an empty bed.
Yeah, that's that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Empty bed. We love that.
I think that especially happens when the dog had been, like, as the dog moves to increased durations, right? Like, so they start settled and then they'll get up and move to the sofa or the bedroom or whatever. And then, but you don't quite have the cameras there yet, you know, and that'll happen. But
yeah, some of these houses are a real kind of mishmash of rooms and things, and trying to get camera angles on some dogs is so difficult. One of the things that I found that is an advantage is in the UK at the minute, the trend is for kitchen units to have a mirror shine. So they're either black or white, but high, really, really high gloss. And it's amazing how much you can see in a cupboard door.
Nice. That's, I don't think that's a trend here.
It's I don't know how long it's been going on for, but I've got a couple of clients now that have got really high gloss cupboard doors. If they get the camera in the right place, I can see in front and I can see behind as well. Fabulous.
Nice.
It's great. I do like that. So that's that was great. The other thing that I forgot to say for Christmas. So at Christmas, you know, now it's a Christmas. If you haven't got any cameras, ask somebody for some nice cameras.
Yes.
For Christmas.
Or if there's like if you're paying for daycare and you know, that's expensive, and that's also maybe people could give you a certificate to your daycare to offset the, or volunteer to watch your dog for you, or I mean there's a lot of,
that's nice,
and it feels like the present is just for your dog, but it's really a lot for you too, because when you do have, you know, that freedom to go and do something and it's not costing you any money, I mean, I think that that feels really good. So
yeah if you could look after somebody's dog while they get to go out for a meal or go out with friends and have a drink or something, yes, that for them is going to be massive.
Yeah,
yes,
that's so great. Nice.
Yeah. Yay. I've started in my Facebook group, I've got, which is Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded, if anybody wants to join.
Really?
I actually started a pin to the top, to say really, I'm very funny. Yeah. At the top of the page, I've pinned this kind of post where everybody can say where they're from and if they want to connect. There's some people, I mean, there's people from all over the world in there. Maybe somebody from Iceland or Aruba, I'm not sure, but
yeah.
Anyway. So they can hopefully connect. And I know there's definitely people in the same town and city. So that is a good place to, link up with somebody that can help you have some time to yourself, and you can return the favor with their dog if the dogs get on and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, nice. And even just to know someone else who understands the situation that you're in as well.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
for
a
sure.
Big thing, isn't it?
Thank you for joining us for our holiday edition of Tales from the Doghouse. I am Stacy Bell from Focused Fun in the U.S. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Focused Fun Dogs. My website is focusedfun.net.
And you've been listening to me, Sarah McLaren, from Separation Anxiety Solutions in the UK. You can also find me on Instagram and on Facebook and on my website separationanxietysolutions.com. and I just want to say as well, thank you for everybody who's listened to us over the last 12 months.
Yes.
Yeehaw! You're keeping us all going, and we hope that you'll keep listening to us for a long time in the future.
And your present to us could be to rate and review and subscribe and share the podcast.
Yes,
that would be a fabulous present. It doesn't even cost any money.
No. And I'm Ness Jones. I am from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded. And you can find me in Australia on Facebook and also on Instagram under _ Ness Jones _ and my website. Anyway, enough of that. We're having a couple of weeks off for Christmas and New Year, and we will be back in January. Yes.
Oh,
what fun it is to ride on one horse up and say, hey!
Hey! Thank you.
Dun, 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 dun,
thank
dun,
you.
Dun,
bye.
Dun,
dun, dun, dun,
dun. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
That was very nice music, Ness.
Woo!